Hi, I'm Lindsey Graham, the host of Wondery's American Scandal. Our newest series looks at Aaron Hernandez, a star football player who shocked the world with a brutal crime. But behind Hernandez's violent actions lay a much larger health crisis affecting the entire sport. Listen to American Scandal on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker. Joining me today is my favorite, my absolute favorite, Mr. Ronnie Karim. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Well, hello. How are you?
Oh, my God.
Garcelle!
Wow. 'Twas the night before Christmas break and all through the podcast. Not a coffee was stirring. Not even a... I'm not going to finish that. But
yeah, you're terrible.
It was terrible.
That.
Christmas poem parody. But really excited. We got... It's late at night for us. It's even later for Ronnie because he's in a different part of the country. And we are going to be recapping Beverly Hills. We're doing it tonight because come tomorrow, Thursday, we are going on vacation. We have bumped up our recording schedules. That way we can eke out one extra day of vacation. But what this also means, though, is that we are going to have kind of an interesting Southern Charm recap this week. So Bravo released the first 6 minutes. So we are going to recap the first 6 minutes of Southern Charm, and that will be the Southern Charm recap, because let's be honest, there probably won't be that much after that anyway. And then we're also going to talk about Miami on that episode. So keep an ear out for that one. That's going to actually be fun. Maybe we could do a predictive. We could predict how the rest of the episode will go. But that's because we're going on vacation, guys. Sorry, we're going on vacation. But also, the benefit is that we are going to do a late-night Beverly Hills recap. And what a night to have a late-night Beverly Hills recap, because the show was certifiably bonkers. I've had a very Bravo day so far today, Ronnie, by the way.
What'd you do?
Well, as we all know, my sewing journey continues to putter along. So this afternoon, I took myself to Mood, home of Project Runway fashions, or fabrics, I should say. So I felt very Bravo-y. I was walking in, and I wanted to be like, thank you, Mood. But I was like, everyone probably does that. So I did that. And then this is, okay, this next story, I'm going to tell you right now, it has a bad payoff, but for me, it made me excited. But I know it's a story that probably only, I have to like tell it. Otherwise, I just have to get it out. But it's stupid, but it's Bravo-related. So I was driving up La Brea Avenue, and there's a little I was stopped at a light, and I looked to my left, and there was a gallery there, like right by like 3rd Street or something. And I saw an interesting piece of art in there. And I was like, that art looks interesting. I would like to go back and see that art. So I like looked at what the gallery was. I took down the name, and in my mind, I was like, okay, remember this. It was called Long Story Short, which is ironic considering what's happening right now. And...
considering our life in general.
Considering the next 3 hours of that
long episode. Story, extremely long.
Okay, long story, that's the, long, that's story long, as Michelle Collins would say, but this one has no payoff. But then I looked it up on my phone. I was like, what is this gallery? Long story short. And then I was looking, and it said artists at this gallery, artists that we are showing. So this person, and then all of a sudden, Victoria de Lesseps. And I was like, it's like the world of Bravo. Wow. It is everywhere. Everything comes back to Bravo. Countess Luann's daughter showed at this gallery on La Brea.
Wow. And you didn't know that? Are you sure? Are you sure you weren't having like a little stalky kind of moment?
I really didn't. I was just like...
I have to say, I've known you for a long time now, and I've literally never heard or seen you say, I need to go back and check out that piece of art. I've never heard you.
Well, no, that's what's so funny like about it. Okay, so what's funny about it is, like, we need art in this house. Okay, we've been in here for like 3 years, and we don't have art. And I'm always like, I want to find the art organically. I want it to be something that, like, I feel da 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 da. But like, so then when I saw art on, I was like, that looks interesting. I mean, it's probably way too expensive anyway, but I saw it and I was like, that was interesting. I want to jot down. I want to feel sophisticated. I want to go to a gallery and pretend like I'm going to buy something and then I'm just going to get something from IKEA instead. So the fact that I had this impulse to be like, Ben, remember this gallery? And then I looked up the gallery and it was like, it was not Victoria de Lesseps' work, but it was connected to Countess Luann in some way. I felt like fate for me.
Oh, it's not her work? Because I was going to say, no. If there's organic artwork out there, it's probably hers. I feel like hers is like, it's my armpit hair framed.
Probably.
$9,000.
Probably.
I feel like that's some Victoria de Lesseps art.
I'm really glad that I have made everyone listen to this ridiculous story about an art gallery in Victoria de Lesseps.
I liked it. I liked it. I liked you going to Mood and going to the art.
Thank you. It's an artsy.
Going to a gallery. I don't even know how to say it. The art.
Driving past a gallery on La Brea Avenue that was wedged between like a burger shack and, you know, like some sort of wicker.
As art is, my friend. That is as art is. So that's where Shakespeare was discovered, between a burger shack
on La Brea Avenue.
Victoria de Lesseps framed poop.
Yeah.
Or dog poop on the wall.
Yeah, La Brea, England. Yeah.
Okay, guys. Well, guess what? We know that there's going to be some problematic aspects to today's episode because it's titled Feisty Fiesta. And can it go right?
Feisty Fiesta, great work there. It's just so silly. It's such a silly, like, it just seems like Pat. Like Pat from, like someone, if you know what it felt like? It felt like whoever, like the post-production supervisor's mom came in and was like, her name was Pam. She's like, hey, why don't you name today's episode Feisty Fiesta? It's a little feisty. It's a fiesta. I think that's funny. Why don't you work with it? Like, you know what? We don't have anything else. Let's just take Pam's suggestion. Feisty Fiesta.
You know what else Pam is doing? Writing the music for this show. I think they were like, you know what, Pam? Listen, we have about $5 left of the budget. We've spent all of our budget trying to dry out Kyle Richards' hair and give her a Morgan Wade makeover or whatever. We have no money left. Please write us some music. She's like, I can do this. What do you want? Rich things? Okay. I'm rich, rich, rich. I'm a bitch, bitch, bitch. I'm in a car, car, car. The car is going far, going far, going far, going far.
Clipping coupons.
Okay, Pam. It's like going far.
Clipping coupons.
I'm in the parking lot.
Clipping coupons. Filling out my form to register for Target Rewards. It's like, okay, Pam, you're a little bit off. You got to stay on message there.
Don't forget to pal pay me those H-E-B gift certificates you promised, okay? Going far.
Hey,
going
I got far. A payment in my on car. Venus.
In my car.
No, it's called Venmo. Oh, sorry. Why do they call it Venmo?
Fucking Pam. Who let Pam in charge of the Trixie Monocle booth?
Wow, it was
over at Bravo. Get rid of them. This music is terrible.
And I also have to say, Ronnie, thank you for bringing to my attention and some other, I'm sure many other people's attention, the show's problematic way of when they cut to a Garcelle scene, they put on their weird Beverly Hills version of rap. And you know, after you mentioned that, I some people reached out to me and were like, oh my God, I'm so glad that you guys mentioned that on the show because I totally think the same thing. And like, I didn't even pick up on it. It was Ronnie who picked up on it. But now I couldn't, like, there was a scene where the music was like, I pull up gangsta on it or something like that. And Custa Garcelle. We'll get to that point. It's in the notes. You. I wrote it in the notes, but it's just
it's so awkward.
So on the nose. But that
it is, and I'm just laughing about it just because it's so, you know, white cringe.
It's
we all feel it.
But yeah. This was a great white cringy episode, and in fact, by the way, I just right before I came down here, I went on Instagram and I saw Dorit posted on her Instagram like a picture of her like sweatshirt that said like 90 supermodel, and she goes like, in my bubble and happy about it or something like that, or like happily in my bubble. I'm like, that's, you know, the in the bubble thing is not considered a good thing to read. You shouldn't be like, I know you want to try to own this moment, like have ownership of it, turn it into a positive, but like, no, not this one. Not this one. I applaud you for your clunky ass way of getting out of the hot seat. Like, I loved the way you just were shameless about that, but don't put yourself back in with this bubble caption.
Right. Look at my new sweatshirt, Problematic by Chanel.
But that being said, I really have to applaud this show. And the reason why is for years, I personally complained that with a problem on Beverly Hills, and I know many other people do, but I don't want to speak for other people, okay? But I felt like Beverly Hills, everyone would tiptoe around things, no one would really say things. And I have to say, this episode, they really were just like, they were kind of saying it. Like, even Erica, I was not on Erica's side.
Erica, but, especially, actually.
Yeah, but I appreciate she that she like, just fucking
black ladies
there.
Can't just say certain words to black ladies. That's it. Yeah. That is it. That's the big secret that we're all wondering. That is it, yeah. Dorit.
It's like, how many years do you have to hint at Dorit?
Yes. By the way, I was on the side of that part. When I said I was not on Erica's side, I was on the side for that part. I meant, like, the lady, the OnlyFans. It was tacky as hell. It was so rude. But also, like, you know what? Like, I'm glad... like, it was not another episode of insinuations. She just said something really kind of rude and tacky, and now they'll deal with it. But, like, it's just, I thought it was oddly refreshing.
Well, this is the Erica I like. When Erica's just, Erica has so many walls up, that she's annoying. But she's always faking or trying to be something else. Good. But when she's just like, fuck you, slut, and you slut daughter, too. I'm like, yes. That's when I'm like, okay, villain. That's kind of what we've always expected from Erica, and she doesn't give it and doesn't give it. And then they just find, like in the last year, they finally broke her down where she's like, I'm not explaining myself to you bitches. That was so exactly. good. Or when she was like,
what do you mean the victims? I only care about me. The only one I give a fuck about is me. Fucking children, victims of fire. What the fuck do I care?
Like, whatever she did was so insane. And Rinna had to drag her away and be like, okay, that's enough. I'm like, drag her back to the car in Aspen. That's what I've needed this whole time.
Yeah.
You know? So
I wasn't on her side, you know, because I thought it was really shitty that, like, for what she said, which obviously we'll get into, but I was appreciative that she just went there, like, not like morally, like I wouldn't want that in real life, but I was appreciative that she just was like, you know what? I'm on this show. I'm just going to say it. You know what? You want to fuck with me, Denise? I'm going to say it. And she was like, I'll go low because what else do I have to lose? And it was so low. It was terrible. But I appreciated her as a reality star in that moment.
Yes. Okay. Well, let's get into this, shall we?
Here we go. Starting with the one we can't take our eyes off of, Crystal. Crystal in her backyard, and her daughter's on like a little balance beam working on a cartwheel, and she's doing a cartwheel, Zoe. And she's like, Mom, you know how to do a cartwheel on a beam? Because of course Crystal doesn't know how to do a cartwheel on a beam. So I like that her daughter's already trolling her. And then, but then Crystal does it back to her. She's like, come on, I don't want silver. I want gold at all times. Like, good luck with those therapy bills.
Yeah, there is something about parents wanting their kids to just be the best at everything that I think is admirable. But I think as a parent, there's just that part of you. I just put myself in those shoes. It's called empathy, guys. So get with it. I put myself in those shoes and I just want to push that little girl off with a fucking beam. Like, I'm sorry. You.
What was
what
that
are you bragging
concept?
About? I paid for you.
What was that concept you just came up with there right now, Ronnie? Empathy? What? What that mean? How do I do that?
It's like I'd fucking do cartwheels before I could do that. Hey, little bitch doing cartwheels, you know what empathy means? I didn't think so. She doesn't know it either.
Would this fly on only flans?
Only flans. Now there is a side I can get behind. Oh, I'd yeah. be jerking off to that 24 hours a day, just showing me different pictures of flan.
Yeah,
I'm a flan fan.
No, I've actually. Did you just growl? No, there's a content creator. There's a guy who has a book out. Now I'm forgetting his name, but he's like a young TikTok chef. And on his Instagram bio, it says something about OnlyFlans. And I don't know if it's real or not.
That shit's funny.
But I support it. But I don't want anyone to think funny. That we
whoever
stole
Whoever you
it.
Are, congrats.
I don't want anyone to think
because you know I do jokes. Make a pumpkin flan every year. And it's called flan. So, but it does work better with this saying.
Sorry. Only flan. I got a note from Pam and she says, actually, I'm pretty sure it's called flan. So,
flan, because I ran. I drive a van, and it's mini. No, Pam. More budget, Pam.
No.
More budget.
No, but Melinda, I called up Melinda, and she said she loved it. So, I think we should go with it.
Melinda, Linda, Linda, gonna send it some flan while I can. $7 only flan.
Just remember, Melinda just became lactose intolerant. Gosh, I'm... Oh, what are we gonna do about Melinda, am I right? Can't send her the flan this year.
Melinda, toots.
Okay, so, I was gonna go into a Melinda Tootin...
Cramp.
It's just...
Melinda cramps, like her gramps.
He was rich, data bitch. Wait a minute. You know, I'm just cursing too much.
That's just not
How'd
right.
we go from flan and cramps? Okay, so here we go. Push that kid off the balance beam. There's my parental advice to you. So now here we go with some terrible song like, she's got kids. She's got children. And it's Garcelle with her kids. And she's like, what are your plans for the summer? And I fast forwarded. And it turned out to only be a 2-second scene. I don't care. But I'd like to thank the FF button on my remote control.
And then we have Erica doing a photo shoot for her residency in Vegas. And we just hear Mikey off in the distance somewhere. I'm not even joking. Like, you just hear him somewhere in a different part of the room going, oh my God, I love that. And it's Erica looking very sexy, and she has like a little mask on. And then some lady, probably her new manager, goes, Vegas ain't seen nothing like this in a long time. I'm like, Vegas literally sees this every single day. Like, literally every show in Vegas looks like this. No shade. I'm just saying, don't act like this is revolutionary. Like, there's literally people from, like, Quebec who are turning themselves into pretzels wearing this outfit, like, at whatever you call the Cirque du Soleil. I'm just like, don't gaslight me about this, okay? That's what I'm trying to say.
I'm no kidding. She's acting like the Golden Nugget just became a thing. Like, Vegas has seen this many, many times. Right? Many, many, many times. So, Sudden at La Boheme. So, I love that she's... Is La Boheme a tragedy? It is, right? Isn't that what Rent is based off of?
It's an opera. I was going to ask you if you ever went to this restaurant, because I've never been to it after all these years.
Of course not.
This is where, by the way, Peter and Raquel went on their date last season on Vanderpump Rules. So it's, you know,
oh, I thought it was fancy. I mean, it's just like a tragedy. It just seems like such a fancy, rich person place to go.
I've never, because it's on Santa Monica Boulevard in this random part, like across from Barney's Beanery. And it was always like billed as like sort of a Liberace kind of place, but I'm not sure if it is.
Yeah, everything you said there is disturbing. God, Barney's Beanery, that closed, right?
I don't think so. I think it's alive and well.
Ugh, gross. Okay, so Sutton at La Boheme, and so the lady's like, do we have a reservation? Who's we? Who's we? Just sit me down. Yeah. Can I be alone? How about that?
Yeah.
How about I just sit alone and you don't fucking shame me for it on Christmas?
Yeah.
How about that, ma'am?
Exactly.
Okay. And are you inviting yourself to my table? Who's the we? Shut up and show me a table. How about
Get me a table and put it next to a very big white piano, please. That is where Sutton winds up. Next to big white piano. I was expecting Asher to show up and start crooning about like being a knight and saving Diana from a dragon. It is the season. This is Asher season. Most people think this is Mariah Carey season, but they're wrong. It's actually Asher season.
Hold on. I love this part. I can.
Erica just taking over the baby grand at La Boheme on Christmas.
Oh, God. Melinda loves that one. Melinda just loves All Holy Night. But unfortunately, last season...
Melinda just ran to the bathroom.
Yeah. That's when she found out about her intolerance during a concert. Christmas concert. Right at the high note.
Wow, yeah. Someone was singing All Holy Night and Linda just sharted herself for the first time. That was a holy night.
Yeah, you know. Someone was hitting a high note. Linda was hitting a low note. It was not a good harmony.
She was very holy. And by that, I mean butt holy.
It was Melinda a holy
didn't
night
end
for
well
her.
For Melinda.
And I'll tell you one thing. It wasn't a salad night either for Melinda.
We all know because we saw what we saw everything in her stomach. The girl might have had... Why are we talking?
That's why I told Fred, no more flan before midnight mass.
He said, but flan rhymes with can. He said, no, flant. No, Fred, flant. We can't, we flant have flan. Okay. Yes, we flant.
I'm going to put that in a song. So I'm so glad I came and visited your office today, honey. All these tales I have to tell.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
It's almost that magical time of year.
Speaking of, what's your favorite Christmas story, Ben?
Hands down, The Grinch.
Same.
It cracks me up that he hates all the merriment.
Right, and he steals everyone's presents.
But then it's like so heartwarming at the end when like the whole town is still singing and he realizes that there's more to Christmas than just gifts.
Oh, I know. It hits me right in the feels.
Best part is, Wondery has a new podcast starring The Grinch. And I think there's someone who wants to tell you more about it, Ronnie.
Hi, it's me, the Grand Poobah of Bah Humbug, the OG Green Grump, the Grinch. From Wondery, 'Tis the Grinch Holiday Talk Show is a pathetic attempt by the people of Whoville to use my situation as a teachable moment. So join me, the Grinch. Listen as I launch a campaign against Christmas cheer, grilling celebrity guests like chestnuts on an open fire. Your family will love the show. As you know, I'm famously great with kids. Follow 'Tis the Grinch Holiday Talk Show on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so Sal comes. Wow. Sal. So Sutton goes, yeah, we do have a reservation. Thank you very much. His name is Sal. So I'm assuming you'll see it right there. Sal, better call Sal. Look at it. Look it up. Better is it on there? Good.
Yeah. What's his last name? DeBan. Sal DeBan. Huh. Don't know if I like that. So Sutton is like, she's like, this is my first date since that idiotic twit Alexandra has visited my house. She set me up with this guy, Sal. And you know, first dates are always that, you know, that butterfly moment, you know, and who knows, like he could be the one. He's tall, he's handsome, he's a gentleman, and surely he doesn't have an overattachment to his mother. I mean, this date has promise.
And Sal comes in. Sal does not have promise. Okay, I don't know where they found Sal, but yikes. Sal's like, oh, good to meet you. Good to meet you. Oh, they give us our favorite table right in front of the baby grand. How you doing? How you doing, Sutton? What was this chair? This is crazy. Chairs are crazy, aren't they? My mama loves chairs.
So I didn't hate Sal at first. A lot of times on Real Housewives dates, the guys just sit there silently and it's like a dud. So he was at least like social, but I noticed right away he was not asking Sutton any questions except like, oh, so you're from Georgia. I'm from New York. Well, that's the land of mothers. I was like, you gotta ask her some questions.
He was very salesman-y to me. Yeah. I went to Ashley Furniture. Shit on Ashley. I mean, what did they do to me? But if anybody's ever been in there, they have some very aggressive salespeople. I'm like, can I just look around? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I said, no, thank you. I'm just looking. And they just follow you around. And they do it like him. Like, oh my God, where are you from? You're a Georgia girl? Oh, whoa, Augusta, Georgia? That's crazy. I'm outside New York. And you know what? I bought into LA big time. Big time. Huge. I love LA. You know why? Because back east, there's humidity. There's heat. There's mosquitoes. Guess what I'm not into? Heat or mosquitoes. Guess what I do love? LA. Bought into it. It's like, just shut the fuck up. It's like overly positive.
It was just very
reversed. That he kicks puppies. He just doesn't seem like a good person.
It's just, you know what it was?
He's too overly trying to wear, shine the good person mask. I just don't believe it. I think he's satanic. I think he's a horrible satanic person.
He was. He just was very spiel-y. He's done this on a million dates. I've honestly made lots of, you know, I've said this spiel myself at various cocktail parties because it comes up. People do the spiel in LA, like, ugh, could you imagine going back to the east? It's hot and it's humid and it gets so wretched in the winters. I mean, come on. You know, you do it. I'll put up with the traffic any day. It means if I got beautiful weather all year round. This is a spiel that everyone says all the time. So to do it on a date is just like, you think Sutton hasn't heard this before? Okay. So she's like, yeah. And you can tell immediately she's not interested in this guy because she's like sort of looking. She's sort of like doing that thing where she's looking just past her invisible soup bowl. She's like, look at that. There's a wrinkle on the tablecloth over there.
Yeah. Well, also because he says, oh God, it's just so hot and is so hot. It's so hot. It's like horse and hot at the same time. I love a hot horse. He's kidding. It's the worst. He's literally the worst ever. No, he doesn't say that. He says, you know, Georgia's so hot and I sweat like a madman. I mean, people literally would say to me all the time, why are you so wet? So I was like, first of all, I don't think anyone's ever said that to me. Second of all, gross. That's disgusting. Someone's talking about sweat during a date. No.
Yeah, this is not, this guy needs to, I think that Alessandra needs to give them some tips. So then the waiter comes by.
Alessandra is one of these people. She That's loves South true. Because Alessandra is a fucking self.
Sutton! Sutton! Okay, first date, day number one. Sal, bachelor number one. Loves his mother, hates the heat, hates mosquitoes, loves getting stung. Oh, my Cupid! Oh, Sutton!
Literally the character in the musical that like steals the show for three scenes over the course of the night, right? Like this is like a musical theater like matchmaker, right? So then Sutton turns to the waiter and she goes, I'm drinking. And it goes, tss. I'm like, okay, okay, whoever is in control of the machine, it's probably Pam. Don't tss her if she's on a date and she asks the waiter she's going to have a drink. That is not out of the ordinary. Okay, this is not evidence that she's an alcoholic because she's on a date and is on a terrible date and she turns to the waiter and says, I am going to drink tonight. That's a little overactive, if you ask me.
Oh, that's funny. So he's like, well, she goes, well, first of all, the waiter too. I guess the waiter, it's what is it called when you get what everybody has around you?
Chlamydia.
Like a cold. Okay. When you have a cold, it's contagious. I think the salesman-y thing is contagious because the waiter's like, are we going to order? Are we going to order, guys? Are we going to order? I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. Just why is everybody so excited today?
Who would have thought a waiter in a restaurant called La Boheme, which features a white piano in the center of its dining room, would be sort of overdramatic?
That's true. But he's not overdramatic in the fun, like dark and broody way. Like, are we hungry? Do we need an order? Of course we do. What the fuck do you want? You know? Because that's what Rent was based off of, La Boheme. I'm saying it again until people start singing Rent songs to me. So yeah, I need something a little more dramatic. You know, I need some death at the end of this meal.
It would be great if the waiters at this place all recited the calorie count of their dishes in the style of Rent.
236.75 calories. 525,600 French fries. 100.
You made me wheeze.
Calories, oh dear.
Specials of the day.
Take me for what I am, and I'm not 1,000 calories.
Is that Tay Diggs, our waiter? Sal has been in LA since 1990, and so have his stories. And then, you know, but he's just sort of like, he's geeky right at this point. He's not geeky. He's like dorky right now, but he's not, in my mind, terrible. He says that he does environmentally friendly office supplies.
I'm sorry, what?
We've what does that seen mean? Worse. Well, no, dorky does not necessarily mean terrible, but terrible is terrible. So here's where he starts to really, I think.
No. Well, here's where he starts. Environmentally friendly office supplies? Just hand me the fucking stapler and shut the fuck up. Isn't it bad enough I have to be environmentally friendly in literally every other thing? What, are you going to send me a fucking tree-hugging Xerox copy or Sal? Okay, Sal. Okay. Way to corner the market, okay? Guilt people. You know what people don't need? They don't need fucking guilt when they're working at the office, okay? Well, it's hard enough without you fucking guilting me that I'm not, like, saving the earth enough.
Well, enjoy your not environmentally friendly office supplies during your next Texas snowstorm.
No shit. No kidding.
And I will during my next California hurricane/earthquake.
Oh, no. Don't you know? I'm a pescatarian and I drive a hybrid. So I'm really about the
I drive a plug-in hybrid, so my hybrid's like a little more hybridy than yours.
No, that's a little too much. That's like a little too try hard for me.
My
I'm
car got
like, I'm not electric, but I'm also not gas. I'm like, you know, I'm like, I can go either way.
By the way, I will be releasing a statement later today after my car was shamed on the Real Housewives of Miami.
It was. It 100% was.
And so
I wasn't even going to bring it up. I said, do not mention this. And so was your last car.
And so, well, technically, well, no. Well, my last car was a Subaru, but the one before that was a Toyota Camry. But the Corolla came close.
The Corolla, right.
And my Subaru was named Martina. So it's all for reasons that you can all deduce why.
Well, she's being rightfully shamed, right? So
no, yeah, well, I wasn't even going to mention that part. I just was mentioning the Real Housewives of Miami connection.
A lot of shame.
A lot of shame. I have a car. I like having cars that are shameful. But my car is not shameful, by the way. If Larsa Pippen shames my car, I'm like all for it. Although I think it was actually Adriana who shamed it. You know what? Fuck everyone. So,
well, you know what? Here's the point. I would use an asbestos stapler. That's it. I would make. Well, I would use a vanilla envelope.
That's bad for you. Asbestos is a natural thing.
I literally don't even care. That's how much I say I hate Sal. You're right. Asbestos is natural. Okay, let me think of something else. I would use cellophane. What are those plastic bags from Ralph's made out of that they outlawed?
Yeah, cellophane's a good one. A styrofoam stapler.
I would Xerox everything on Mylar. Okay? But
you would do that anyway, even if you weren't taking a stance about something right now. Let's be honest. You'd be like, guys, here's the quarterly report. And they're like, Ronnie, are you decorating for the junior prom? Maybe.
Okay, so environmentally friendly office supplies. Okay, so what were you saying? Where did it start to go bad for Sal?
When he starts saying, well, I work from home so I can see my mom. You know, she's the 88 and I like to spend as much time with her as I can because I'm not around. So you're like, okay. And then he goes, and you know, for my 50th, she said, how about we go to Vegas? So my mother got the hotel before I did. And then she goes to the concierge like, okay, where can I go? And she goes, son, you're going to be angry with me. They recommended a good old school variety show next door, but it's topless. And I'm like, we're supposed to be scandalized by the fact that he went to a topless review with his mom. I'm more scandalized by the fact that he had no one in his life but his mom to go to Vegas with on his 50th birthday.
I'm scandalized that they're sitting in front of a piano and his mom is 88. I mean, it just seems too planned because that's how many keys there are on the piano.
Is it real? Oh, yeah. 88.
88. Like, he's got like a whole shtick and it's just fucking weird.
It's weird.
He's like, yeah, I went to a titty place with my mom. And then, you know what? It was so crazy. I couldn't stop jangling the change in my pocket. It was crazy. You know what? Being with mama in that place, that's the first time a mother and son had to invoke what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Isn't that funny? Am I sweating right now? I'm sweating right now.
You're not letting it stay in Vegas, sir. You're not letting it stay in Vegas. Meanwhile, his mom's probably like Elaine Stritch, and we're like, oh my God, his mother was an icon. I take it all back. Could you imagine if it was Elaine Stritch's son?
No. Well, I hope not because... Well, this would make sense because he goes, yeah. So one time I bought this cool looking catfish and then my mother, Elaine Stritch, took it out with a net. And then she just started shaking and beating it. And I said, Mama, you just beat that catfish half to death. That is Elaine Stritch. Like, fuck this catfish.
Is Billy Stritch Elaine's son? Do we know?
I don't think so. He did get hit in the head with a vodka bottle that Liza threw at him.
Are you sure it was? No, I thought that was David. Oh, no,
that was David. You're right.
I think, Billy Stritch got hit in the head with a catfish at some point.
He got hit in the head with Luann. No, that wasn't Billy Stritch. What was that guy's name?
David Guest.
Luann's director, cabaret director. Wasn't it?
Oh, well, the Ben something. But Billy Stritch was like the musical director, wasn't he?
He was. Yeah, it was
Ben something. But Ben What's-His-Face was the director of Luann's.
You're Ben What's-His-Face.
I am Ben What's-His-Face. And I'm going to go see Victoria's Gallery. A lot of art about catfishes.
I'm sweating right now, mama. So, Sutton's like, there are too many mama stories for me to handle right now. So, this is a lot. It's a lot for me. And he's like, my mama beat that catfish to death almost like I beat my dick in that titty bar with my mama. To death. Choked that.
Hey, you ever see a musical review by Topless Catfish? Because that's what we saw.
My mom beating a topless catfish to death while I'm choking a chicken. I don't know why I made him Southern.
I don't know.
I think because we've got some JT coming up, and he's also obsessed with mommy.
Well, you know, the one person on Bravo who caught a catfish with her bare hands.
Luann.
How does Luann Del Seps?
That's right. And you know someone who said, I got it! When they saw that on TV, probably was Billy Stretch.
And me.
So there we go.
She caught that with her hands, bitch. So it obviously does not last. And then they have to like stand up in these very heavy chairs that make like weird noises that, you know, offend Southern sensibilities because it sounds vaguely like a fart. So it's like, she's like, oh, that sounds like Melinda on Christmas Eve, if you remember correctly.
And Sutton's like, Sal, I don't think Sal is the right man for me, but... You know, oh God, I'm so sorry. Did you hear that?
Yes.
That was my texting. I'm so sorry, but Sal is not the right man for me. But I just want to say thank you, Alessandra.
You're welcome, Sutton, you're welcome. You did great. He's the winner. Ding dong, ding dong. Bells are ringing for Sutton.
So now we get a really terrible Trixie song because it actually literally doesn't make sense. Okay, these are the lyrics. Running through the city, sitting real pretty, hair blowing in the wind with the top down. Okay, so you're running through the city, but then you're also sitting at the same time because you're sitting pretty. So you're running, but you're sitting, and then your hair is blowing in the wind with the top down, so you're also driving a car. Just try to make these lyrics work together. Are you running? Are you sitting? Are you driving your car? Technically, if you're driving your car, you could be sitting, but I don't think you're saying that you're sitting at that moment.
I wrote, I hate this song and I want it to die. That was my note.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Wow. Okay, so in comes Anne Marie coming to Kyle's house.
Yeah.
And the dog tries to bite her, Rome.
Okay, normally I would say this is a bad sign for Anne Marie, but also I think it's actually a statement more towards Kyle and you are too rich to have your dogs be out of this out of control. I'm sorry. Last week I was like, is it me? Is it crazy that like after all these years, she still has to tell her dogs to like chill out by the door? And I got some responses. People were like, no, Ben, you're not crazy. Those dogs should be trained by now. Those dogs are out of control. Oh, well,
notice how quiet I'm being over here because guess whose dog bites has bitten before? And he doesn't run out the door, but he does not stop barking.
Dogs bite.
So you know what? I'm really in no place to judge.
No.
Does that mean I'm going to not judge? No.
Dogs bite. I'm just saying Kyle has too much money not to throw money at the issue. I'm sorry. She should be able to do something. Take him to doggy therapy or whatever. But also Kyle's put out like 5 platters of charcuterie for Shabbat, which by the way, I definitely saw meat and cheese there happening at the same time, which doesn't have to be kosher, but I just want to say, it's a lot of.
So do you not eat meat and cheese on Shabbat?
Well, I mean, if you're kosher, you can have a non-kosher Shabbat, of course. Kosher, but I just felt so like hard. Going at Kyle for a second. Why not?
Is there like a pescatarian version of kosher where you're just like kind of kosher? Like I steam things occasionally.
Yeah, there is. There's people who are kosher in their house, but when they go out to dinner, out to the restaurant, they're not kosher, which I guess is sort of like a little bit of half and half. Or maybe some people are like, they're okay mixing meat and milk, but they don't eat pork. So everyone has their own different versions of it.
I like it.
Yeah.
But okay. I'm Jewish now. I can do it.
All I have to say is it was a lot of charcuterie for 3 people. A lot of charcuterie.
So Dorit's like, oh, look at that, a charcuterie. Well, I do not have an esophagus problem, but I do have the stomach of an adult woman. Oh, she's that much cool. I'm like, oh, God, we're going to just start with the esophagus jokes. You people are such dopes. Anybody who Googled this knows that Anne-Marie made an ass out of herself.
Everybody knows it.
Well, I mean, a total ass out of herself. And these people are just going to come on here making esophagus jokes.
And you can't, by the way, you can't make these jokes when there is when we have an expert on Bravo. Dr. Tiffany Moon released a video where she kind of was like, this is a real issue and like you can't like make fun of it. And she basically set the record straight over about esophaguses and all that good stuff. So another feather in Dr. Tiffany Moon's cap about being awesome.
I mean, just when you think 2023 can't get weirder, It's the esophageal debate to end the year. I mean, with everything going on in the world, Bravo fans are ending this year going, oh my God, why is Heather mad? Who is Heather yelling at in that scene? And what the fuck is up with people making fun of esophaguses? Seriously, what is
we all of a sudden all became an expert on esophaguses. We're all into it.
We're all up in esophagus facts. I mean, I've Googled this esophageal structure, whatever it's called. I've read a lot about it.
Hmm.
Elaine Stricture. It's like a semi-preppy store disease in the mall in the 80s.
Did somebody call me this?
Your throat has columns. What? Your throat has fake Roman columns inside of it, ma'am. That's why you can't swallow.
Don't call me Snuffleupagus. No, Emily Simpson, go back to your own show. We're talking about esophagus, not Snuffleupagus.
Esophageal structure. Okay, stricture. So we are on. I know, but I'm still talking about structure at the store of the mall in the 80s.
And I'm talking about. I'm trying to make. And I'm trying to make my Elaine Stricture pun. Said it three times. Acknowledge it.
That's good. I couldn't hear after the roar of my own laughter inside my head. It was
so structure.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Okay. So, by the way, I also have to acknowledge the way Dorit entered the scene was amazing. She walked through the door and she put her palms out and then she did like her head back and forth like she was in Remember the Time video. And she goes, what's all the laughing about? It's like, okay, sitcom entrance. Sorry to blow out the mic, everyone. I got
excited. Oh, Dorit. So, Emery, okay, so they're talking about, they're trying to make this about the esophagus again. So Emery laughs and she's like, she tells us, I haven't known Sutton long, but the inconsistencies with Sutton in our past is very telling. And if anyone ever comes close to exposing her, she gets mad. Yeah. Who doesn't get mad when people expose them? First of all, you dumb. And second of all, what are you exposing her about? Faking esophagus issues?
It's so bizarre.
I've never heard of anything like this. Do you think that your children are learning bad things from your esophageal issues?
Well, and then
Lisa Vanderpump made me say it.
And then Dorit's like, she's also a skeptic. She's like, I wouldn't say that it's made all that much sense to us. I mean, she's described to me before that she's had to crush up her food, like baby food. But then that following year, she was like, I just don't eat meat. But then she was eating bacon. I'm like, it is possible.
Those things don't have anything to do with each other.
It is possible to have an esophagus issue and not eat meat, but on occasion have a piece of bacon. Like, it literally makes sense to me.
They're just trying to string things together and be like, this is why she's crazy. No, that's not why she's crazy. This is why she's crazy. She says the same thing over and over again when in an argument. I mean, there's like 20,000 reasons that Sutton is crazy, but they're just stringing together random things.
Well, she said she had an esophageal issue, but then she said she doesn't eat meat because of it. But then she had bacon. She's a liar. She's a vegetarian esophagus liar.
What are you trying? There's enough on Sutton already.
Sutton is the biggest moving target. It's not even a moving target. It's just like a giant. It's just a giant wall you have to throw one little tennis ball at. And they can't. They've for 2 years, they've been incapable of doing this. Sutton started the season. Was it last year? Yeah, it was last year. She started the season so terribly by turning Dorit's like horrific home invasion and like minimizing it by saying like, well, we all go through things. I'm waiting on the fashion designer at the airport, whatever it was. Like, Sutton should have been the villain. That should have been the year that Sutton was like the worst and canceled and yada yada yada. And these they just can't figure out how to do it. And like, Sutton gives them everything and they just don't know how. They don't know how to do it.
Yeah. They just keep trying. They're so used to coming up with bullshit against each other that they just don't know how to use the real things against each other. You know, they just keep trying to make up bullshit.
Just spilled that Coca myself because you made me laugh. Thanks.
It's true, though. All the issues with each other on this show are like somewhat made up, you know? Okay, so then it's like, so what did you guys do this week? I leaned up against a window and tried out a problematic sweatshirt. It's quite good.
And then Kyle goes, I had some meetings for that like 1 hour drama I'm doing, which of course no one knows about. And she knows no one knows about. So like this like humble brag thing, you know, she's basically doing clickbait for herself. And yeah. Dorit's,
gee, excuse me. Hello, my name's Dorit. What's your name?
She's like, Kyle.
Oh, do you remember that we're friends? Gee.
And Emery's like, oh my God, so you didn't know about this either? Oh. I don't know about it either. I've like literally been on the show for 5 minutes. How could I not know this? I'm exposing you right now. So then Dorit's like, what else are you not going to tell me? Do you have new tattoos? And Kyle's like, actually, you know, and Kyle does that.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't laugh. She's doing that. She goes, actually, I do. She's like, cool.
And so then Kyle's like, yeah, I have six now. And Dorit's like,
well, has Mo seen any of the ladies' tattoos? Any seen any of the tattoos?
She's like, yeah. I came home and I showed him, and like you could tell he was really annoyed. And then they show the clip of Mauricio going like, love Bean. And we see the tattoo. Did we not comment on this before? Did we not notice this? Did we not see this revealed that it was a lightning bolt? Did I just forget? It's a lightning bolt.
No, it's a lightning bolt. Jesus. Yeah. It's like she's even trying to do the Vanderpump Rules thing. I mean, she's just such a copycat, you know? And I don't know the timeline of when all of this stuff happened. Mm-hmm. I can't figure out timelines. I'm not smart like that. And also, LA doesn't help you because it's just always sunny. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do we know what?
Well, you know what? I would take it always being sunny instead of that humidity and those mosquitoes on the East Coast. So Kyle's like,
oh, just came on my mommy memory.
Kyle's like, okay. I got this tattoo. What happened was like Morgan was in town. So yeah, like her wagon, it kind of like broke, like the wheel fell off for a second. So we're like, well, while we're waiting for the wagon maker to come fix it, we'll all just get a tattoo. You know what I'm saying? We're just wacky best friends.
And then we get to see that scene again where they're like, how did you meet her? And she's like, oh, she stalked me. Kyle stalked me. That's what she did. That's Kyle Richard. I'm the first person who ever got a tattoo by Kyle Richard. That's for sure. I'm the first person who ever got lucky enough to get a tattoo by Kyle Richard. And Kyle's like, oh my God, I got like a Saturn and I also got like a lightning ball.
Yeah, and I got, you know what I got out of it? I got the sweet tattoo of a horizon, a road going down to the horizon.
Morgan, that's okay. You're looking at it from the wrong angle.
Oh, would you look at that? Turns out the road going to the horizon's actually okay. I learned something new every day from you, Kyle Richards.
It was funny because Kyle Richards ended up putting a tattoo of the drug she likes to store it off my stomach in the Chateau Marmont, which I just wrote about my newest song, K.
Wait a minute. I thought that was for my initials.
Oh, that too, I guess.
Damn it. There's a fried shrimp.
Hi.
Real shrimp.
Hi, Kyle. Did you just put on a little bunny tattoo, a little stick-figured bunny tattoo with its ears coming out of its head?
No, that's an R. Stop looking at my tattoos from the wrong angle.
Oh, look at that.
Wow, Kyle just put two bees right on top of each other. It's like one bee coming down to another bee. It's really...
It's okay! It's okay, goddammit! I love you!
Busy. Very, very busy.
Wow, a real famous person put a tattoo on my body.
So then, so Emery's like, so who's Morgan? Do I know Morgan? Is she an 8.5? And Reed's like, oh, it's her new best friend.
And Marie's like, what would my husband score? Probably like a 7, probably.
I hear she's a 7 across the boards. So
I can't wait to get remarried to my husband. And then he could like write her own vows and could be like, wow, to my wife, who's not attended anything.
So now Kyle is now that Kyle actually has been able to come up with a story for her tattoo situation, she's much more comfortable. So she's like, oh my God, it's so funny. Like, so like, you know, like Morgan, she has like everything on her, like whatever, you know what I'm saying? And it's just like, you know, like she doesn't put like the thought into her tattoos the way I do. I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm like a very thoughtful tattoo artist, which is why I'm a successful producer slash actress in the Halloween franchise. Anyway, so she's like, you can like just put one on. I'm like, okay, I don't even care. So it's just like, you know, like putting something on a Pinterest board, right? So I just like, okay, I'll put a K on, you know what I'm saying? It's like very honest and like not lesbianish.
I just put like a half tattoo, like I just put like a 0.5 because that's like how many seasons all my shows last. So, you know, things like that. Like it goes deeper. It goes deeper, you guys. Dorit's like, where did you put a D on? She's like, no, I'm trying to convince people that I'm like absolutely not into D anymore, Dorit. That's like my storyline. So
Kyle,
follow me down the path.
Kyle is so full of bullshit. She says, I put a K on there because that way she could write any word that starts with K. Thanks, Kyle. Thanks for your... This is, thank kite. You for your creative... Like... And, like kite. Or kiss, because every kiss begins
kangaroo.
With K. Kangaroo. Koala. It's like, hey, you know what, Morgan? I know you've been thinking about having the word koala on your... on your body, and I just wanted to be the first one to start the word for you. Go ahead.
Well, you're missing the Ola. Shall we talk about Jackie Tuesday?
So they don't though, not yet. So now they go to there ain't nobody better than me. There ain't nobody better than me. And it's a Garcelle scene. But Garcelle is walking and this is so disrespectful. They put migration over her face. For the movie Migration that's coming out about the birds that are migrating, they put these everywhere. We see it. What was the one that they kept popping up last year? It was like the little minions or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is always funny when it's a Kyle scene and minions are popping up because, like, literally everybody she brings on this show is. But this one, they don't even keep it at the bottom anymore. They just put it right over Garcelle's face.
No, but by the way,
Migration.
This Trixie song was more than what you said. Okay, these are the lyrics. I'm so fresh. I'm so clean. Ain't nobody do it better than me. It's like, okay, fine. Pull up on them pow with the gangsta lean. Can't nobody floss better than me. And it's just like Garcelle walking down a sidewalk on a Sunset Strip. First of all, why are we invoking like gangsta? Like, first, there's nothing even on this show that's remotely close to that. But again, it's like, okay, so on your black cast member, you're like, oh, let's put in the royalty free music that says, ain't like that says, pull up on them pow with the gangsta lean. It's just so like,
I can't. Come on. Do better. So,
thank you for opening my eyes.
Classic cat lounge.
Classic cat. What? I said, thank you for opening my eyes to this music selection situation going on this show.
Yeah, sometimes, I don't know. And I noticed that they're changing the music up on a lot of shows. It's just the wrong direction. But there's so many things. It's just the day and age. It's like we're trying to, it's like Garcelle says right. Later. Most people know better by now. You don't.
Yeah. By the way, I have to also correct. I said Garcelle was the only black cast member. There's obviously Anne-Marie, but I just keep forgetting she's a cast member because she's been on for like 1 second so far. So when they get to this place, the classic cat, they go inside. Now, if you thought the La Boheme waiter was overactive, though, classic cat waitresses, they have one agenda and one agenda only. Bring back the lychee martini. They are like, you want a lychee martini? Do you like lychee martinis? How about a lychee martini? You want a second one? I've just brought an extra lychee martini to the table because I want you to have a lychee martini.
Oh, God. And it's not only the lychee martini. It's called the lychee meow.
Oh, I'm sorry. That wordplay is just so...
A lychee cat.
So, I mean, what great wordplay. They swapped martini for meow because those two words sound exactly alike.
I'm bringing lychee back.
So Erica comes in. She goes, oh, my God, what are we at? I love it here. What a wonderful place you got here. You got lychee? Just kidding. I see it everywhere. I'll have one. Do you have a hot toddy lychee? Do you have a lychee hot toddy? Do that for me, would you?
Hey, are you on OnlyFans? Just asking.
So she says.
Only lychee?
Only lychees. I heard about OnlyFans. I heard about OnlyFlans. And then I heard about Only Lychees, which... didn't really have the same ring to it, but I subscribed.
So Erica comes and she's in her like manic, I'm a good person mode.
Like, yeah, back on the top of the world. I'm going to be doing a residency at the House of Blues 2 days a week in between weddings. I'm in.
So Erica is, so Garcelle's like, oh, hi, it's so good to hang out with you. And Erica's like, yeah, well, when Garcelle first came in the group, we were friendly. And then we got off track.
Mostly because of me. That's me, Erica, just taking the blame for things now. Go ahead, play the clip. Go ahead, play the clip.
And then we see Erica apologizing in the clip, like,
I was shit-talking the kids, and I was over. Oh.
So Erica's saying that, like, everything's good right now, and she's got this residency, and be careful what you wish for, because then you got to show up and perform. And she goes, you know, I've done a million shows, but I've only hit about one note, and I've never had one riding like this on me before.
I've done a million shows in a quarter of an octave.
They say I'm not quite rap, not quite singing, so they don't really know what to do with me, but
actually, did you see the lady who came out today telling off Erica Jane? Let me look this up. It's worth it. Trust me, it's worth it. I do not have it up and prepared because I've got pictures of Bueller. I needed to take 30 pictures of my dog today on my phone for some reason. Hold on. It's worth it, guys. Wait for it. Wait for it. Here it is. So this is Dance Diva Amber. This is who this. Do you know who this is?
No, I just think it's a funny name, but go on.
It's a, she sings a damn, where's the disco
Dance
song?
Dance Diva Amber.
I had. Yeah, it's some song that Erica does in her show, but God, I didn't take the whole screenshot. Okay, but here's her telling her off. She says, so today I was sent this clip here, and just like Karen Kassar from The Real McCoy had the nerve to lip sync to my track and original vocals when she was on the road with them and act like it was all her, so does this one, apparently, The Pretty Mess. At first, I thought it was a drag queen, you know, where men dress up as women and give a dramatic lip sync, and people know and understand it as a clear art form and not being the actual real artist of the song, and I can respect that. And I see an appreciation for the artist from the LGBTQIA+ community. After a little research, however, it turns out she was on one of these Housewives reality shows.
One of these.
No wonder I don't know her.
One of these Housewives shows.
As I do not watch that kind of stuff. Damn it. Damn it.
I know. I'm so amused that this lady has an axe to grind with The Real McCoy. That's my favorite part. She's like, remember that song? I was the one who sang Runaway. Runaway, runaway, runaway and save your life. That was me. And now Erica Jane has stolen me from The Real McCoy.
But well, it is a super famous person. I mean, the song is super famous. I'll look it up while you talk. But this is so good. It turns out to be one of those Real Housewives reality shows. No wonder I don't know her, as I don't watch that kind of stuff. And then I was told that she supposedly also is a singer with her own dance records. Okay. So then let me ask you this. Why are you not taking out a mechanical license and just set up a little produced track yourself and add your own vocals on it and then lip sync the hell out of it? If you must lip sync, otherwise go live, girl, without having to act like my vocals are all yours. Never in a million years as a self-proclaimed performing artist would I even come up with the thought of lip syncing to a track and a vocal of another artist on a paid show on top, unless that is all I do and all that people know me clearly for. And
her,
I'm a queen or something.
Dance Diva Amber.
The original. Hashtag Amber. Hashtag don't be like Erica Jane. Hashtag authentic city matters. Hashtag dance diva Amber. Wait. Hashtag girl bye.
Well, my initial thought was, girl, why are you why are you proud that that's your voice? Then my second thing, like, girl, like, if that's like, that's like not something I'd be like, that's my voice in those songs. But also, wait, is this Amber from like the 90s? That singer Amber?
Oh, no. I'm in love with you. Oh, no.
That's the song, I think.
Wait a second.
I looked her up.
Wait, Amber, she had another song. Oh, no. Was that the one more? She's Dutch. I don't know why I love
it. I'm looking now. I'm looking at her link tree. Okay, dance Diva Amber. This is your night.
This is your night.
So that's not what I was just singing, right?
I don't know if what I was doing qualified as singing, first of all. Amber.
I'm sure that Amber people love when we're like,
well, we're gonna, I'm gonna play,
do you remember this thing? Hold on.
Oh, Sexual. Na, 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 wait, that song, dee, Sexual, dee, is so na, na, good. Na, na, dee, da, dee, dee, da, oh, yeah. Dee, da, 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 dee, da, dee, da, dee, da, dee, dee, da, dee. This is your night.
Yeah,
that's it. Be all right.
Yeah, that's it.
Play it. So she's pissed YouTube, at Erica, it's like Jane. Not working.
And then the clip that she's talking about, it is just her original song. It's played side by side. Erica literally just plays a song from the radio and lip syncs it badly while dancing badly. I'm like, what is going on? What are you doing? You're not singing even close to something that you're pretending you're making your own. And it's not like anybody thinks it's her own, but like, you can't just go lip sync to somebody else's actual vocals, can you? Is that allowed?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Or do you think she just considers herself a drag queen at this point? Because she knows.
I love the gays.
I don't think you could do that.
All I know is that I really hope that this is Amber from the 90s getting mad at Erica Jane, because that's just really, that's what we need today. That's what it we is. Need. We need to move on from it. So it really is her.
It's really her. Yeah.
Dance diva
it's
Amber.
Her. She's like, who's this bitch lip syncing my actual fucking vocals? Like, who does that?
I'm just also happy because I feel like we're shining a light on Amber. I think people would have forgotten who she is. And I feel like we dance diva Amber.
We're dicks, first of all.
She looks like a manzo
person.
She is eight. She now looks like a, have you look at the picture of her these days? She looks like
these days still hot, I'm sure.
Yeah, but she looks like a manzo. She's like now turned into a manzo.
Like a manzo.
Amber is a manzo.
Okay.
So are we
okay. Amber Manzo. So we back to Erica. So Garcelle's like, well, I'm glad you joined me. A friend will be joining us.
And she's like, oh God, is it today? He says, today is starting a Jesus chat.
And she's like, No. My other friend. I will tell you though, Denise is coming to Taco Tuesday.
She's like, Denise is coming to Taco Tuesday.
Well, and we all know the original Taco, or should I say Taco Tuesday, hostess on Bravo, Countess Luanne de Lesseps.
Taco Tuesday.
Taco Tuesday with my son, whatever his name is, Noel, perhaps. But that was like her contribution to raising her children, was that she would make Taco Tuesday with them.
That's how I do. That's why they've grown up to have art shows on La Brea.
On La Brea.
By Mr. Burger.
Mr. Burger.
Oh, yeah, I fucked Mr. Burger in 1999. Quiet, Sonia.
The friend is Sutton, okay? So Sutton comes in, and Erica's like, I knew I was Sutton, I knew it. God, I love this. I'm such a fun-loving girl with the residency.
Your hair looks adorable.
And she's like, well, I flipped it over. I flipped over my pot because it was dirty. And then, of course, the waitress shows up with, like, basically a shotsky full of, like, lychee martinis. Lychee martinis? And she's like, no. I don't want a lychee martini, please. Get that shit out of my face.
So Erica's like, oh, I was just thinking of you because I will set you a thing about gossiping in the South.
It says you don't gossip in the South. You put someone on your prayer list. Maybe I could put Denise on my prayer list. Listen, she's got to let this 4-year beef go. So who even remembers what happened 4 years ago?
Yeah, I totally let it go at Kyle's house, as will be evidenced later on in this episode when I'm totally post-feud.
So Garcelle's like, well, she wasn't clear with what, you know, with you, what her issues were. But, you know, I saw her afterwards and she explained it. And we see a flashback to Denise saying that she was really pissed that Erica said that the teenagers, you know, made the threesome comment. And Erica's like,
listen, I said they know what threesomes are if they haven't had one already. Okay, you've seen the Euphoria. That's a great show. They know it. They understand it.
And she also, Erica did shitty things other than that. I don't know why she's going all the way back to that. Erica got pretty nasty with her towards the end, and it's funny that Denise can't come up with anything. She's just like,
yeah, something about my kids, threesomes. I'm really mad about that part. Still really mad.
And so Erica's like,
oh, by the way, did you know that it's $7 for a naked bundle of Denise Richards on OnlyFans?
And Garcelle's like, oh, God, shut up, Erica.
Yeah, because now they're wasted. They've had like a million lychee martinis. At one point, Sun goes, I look like a baby. And Garcelle goes, Baby Yoda. And Sun's like, no. So then Erica's like, yeah, can you believe Denise is only $7? And then they all just are laughing because Denise has priced herself so low. And Sun's
Which is funny because that's what Erica rumored. This was what was being reported, that Erica's tickets at her residency were going for like $7, and they were having to bus in like busloads of people to come for free to just fill seats. So that karma ended up kind of biting her on the ass.
If it's true. But hey, do a volume business. Quantity over quality sometimes. So then Erica is like, because then Sun's like, it's not really naked.
We say on our ninth podcast of the week.
They were like,
we're talking give me about everything for free. Shit.
Okay, so I'm just going to do Luann voice for everything now. So Garcelle's basically, they're basically like, yeah, she's showing everything. And Garcelle's like, seems a little low for Denise fucking Richards. I mean, you can do better. I mean, how about $10? Am I right? So then they're like, okay, well, it's time to go. Who's driving? And Sutton goes, well, you know, I always have a driver with me at all times. And Garcelle's like, oh, you mean the driver that you made out with? kidding. Didn't mean to say that part on camera.
Erica's
like, what? What are you talking about? The driver you made out with? She's like, you just be quiet over there.
Garcelle's like, oh, God, I think I peed my pants laughing, so I think I need depends. Garcelle!
Hey, everyone. So this is a two-part recap. So we're going to pause this right here because it's going long. Thanks for listening. We appreciate you so much, and keep an eye and an ear out for part two coming up very shortly on your podcast feed.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
She's the wind beneath our Jennifer Wing.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trott.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch, it's Victoria Kotchett.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.